Hello and welcome to Heavy Equipment Radio. I'm your host, Ryan, heavy equipment operator. And I'm doing this podcast today because I figured it was an opportune time to give you a little overview on how things can go wrong. And we've been experiencing that a little bit. I'm working with a city crew, and we're basically doing sewer water repair and maintenance. Now, what's just happened here, I'm on the site right now, I'm in my machine, I shut it down, so hopefully there's not too much extra noise coming into this, is we're doing a water main replacement, and it was a bit of a tricky job. It's got a bunch of trees, so there's environmental concerns. It's about 30 feet between the trees, so it really wasn't too bad, but it was a real pain in the butt when operating an excavator and trying to haul out dirt from it because the limbs hanging overhead and everything, and people are very particular about that, and I understand that's fine, and we're very conscientious of that. Basically, we've dug down to the water main. There was some street lighting in there that we were aware of that was located. We found it. It was no problem. Everything was going pretty smooth, and it was time to cut the water main to replace it. And the water main was apparently designated as dead. No pressure, nothing. This is a 12-inch water main, so it's pretty big. They put the cages in, thank goodness, and I'm going to get into more about cages in a few minutes here because there's another story that was in the news recently about a man who lost his life in a trench, and when I watched the video of it, I did not see a cage in there, and my heart sunk. Regardless, we sent a gentleman down there to cut this 12-inch water main. As he cut, once he got through, the water was fully pressured. Full pressure. I'm going to talk with the gentleman who was down in the trench because I can only imagine what was going through his mind. When it blew, I was across the street in my machine and I saw a water fountain go up at least 50 to 60 feet high. It was a geyser. And we know when that happens, when I see something like that, first thing, get my hard hat on, get my gloves on, I've got first aid, I'm over there. Find out what happened, make sure everyone's okay. The first thing I did was to look around, see if there's anyone on the ground or anything. We've got lots of people here, they're very safe, so it wasn't a big concern, but it's good practice. So nobody's laying on the ground. I ask everyone okay, they said everyone's okay. I go up and talk to the foreman, you know, what happened, and he said, the water main was pressurized, we were told it was dead, and it blew. The guy down there got awfully wet, but he was okay. Now, what's happened now is that we've got this high-pressure water geysering up, and we've got cages in the trench, of course, several of them. It's a pretty big trench. It's probably about 40 by 30, and it's now undermining our trench. We're losing our trench. Now, our trench is right next to a main road. We're just on the sidewalk. We actually had to break out the sidewalk to get down to it. And now we're losing our trench, which does nothing good for anybody, but in the operator's concern is you've got to look where it's undermining. We've got asphalt that our machines are sitting on, and you can't see from that asphalt that it's undermining where you're sitting. So I'm always very conscientious of that, even when there's no water leaks or anything like that. Trenches will collapse, they always do, especially when you're doing it in tight circumstances when you can't slope it. I love working in a slope trench, but it's just not possible, and that's why we use these big cages that we put in there. It's basically four walls, and we can put hydraulic pressure on, pump out the walls, so it goes solid against either side of the trench or whatever's closest. So now we've got a trench that's being that we're losing. We've got a water main that we finally shut off. I can see the guys just did that there. You can tell that a lot of people are pretty upset, and the guy in the trench would be really upset. If I was him, I would be choked. I would be looking for somebody to yell at. I mean, I don't promote that habit, but when something like that happens, it points out again how quickly you can get hurt. And I wonder if there's not a safer procedure to check this type of thing in the future if we can't drill a small hole or something. I mean, it's got so much pressure. you know, if it's an old, weak pipe, it could just let go altogether, and then people could really get hurt. So I'm going to ask them about that and find out if there's anything we can do to test these, even though we've been told that there was no pressure on it. So that'll get your adrenaline running pretty quickly on the job. Previous job to that, we had a 20 by 20 trench in a back alley, and we were doing a sewer that was broken, and we had to replace it. The old sewer was made out of a concrete, clay kind of pipe, and they wanted to replace it with a plastic pipe. So we dug down there, and there was a gas line going across there. It was only about 3 feet deep, which is not very common, but maybe in a residential situation, this place is really old, maybe that's what happened. We found that, no problems there. We went down further, and through somebody's mistake, I don't know who, and frankly, I don't care. I don't ask those questions anymore unless it's directly concerning me. But we hit a copper wire coming from the water main going to a house, so we blew a line, and all of a sudden that 20 by 20 trench is filling up with water. It's usually not a big deal. We can usually take care of that pretty quickly, but for some reason, again, I didn't even want to ask because people were very upset. It took forever to turn that water off. And I mean forever. It took what seemed like hours. And that, again, caused our trench to start collapsing. The problem with this situation was we had frost about 3 to 4 feet deep. So when it undermined below that frost line. What ended up occurring was a big chunk, about the size of a dump truck, not as tall, 4 feet high, size of a dump truck, basically became completely undermined and collapsed into the trench. Now, we were aware this was happening, and we had a cage in there, not to protect anybody, there's no way anyone was going in that hole, but to try and shore that up so that it wouldn't collapse. But it did, and it collapsed very slowly. It broke, and it was like, you know, like an earthquake fault. It went about couple of inches first, and you could see it moved, and it ended up basically shifting and collapsing about 2 feet. So it went down about a foot, and it came in towards the trench against the cage about 2 feet. What this did was there was the gas line that we found. That gas line was in the frost line, and when that piece collapsed, it stretched that gas line and broke the gas line. Now all of a sudden we had a gas leak, and you could smell that, and there's no mistaking really when you hit a gas line by the sound and especially by the smell. So we had to call the gas company in. That took a little bit to get in there, and they pinched off the lines, closed it off, contained it, and now we'd cut gas to a whole neighborhood. So no one had heat. It wasn't a particularly cold day, but not good. I was told that the gas company alone having to go in and, I guess, relight pilot lights in people's homes and stuff was going to cost us about $60,000. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but there was a lot of guys from the gas company there doing a lot of work for the rest of the day as we contained that. When we finally got down to the sewer that we had to fix, it was made of this brittle clay or cement pipe. And every time we tried to get a clean edge, they're beveled and connect into each other, it would break. So our 20 by 20 trench, with the collapse, with the water getting in there, with us having to dig out the gas line further, all things considered, turned into a 40 by 40 trench into a back alley, and the trench collapsed right next to someone's garage. If it was going to collapse more, it was going to take that garage into that trench. There's a lot of adjectives one can use to describe what went on in that situation, and I just found out today that they're sending me back to that situation, because when it was fixed and everything, the sewer was fixed properly, the gas was fixed properly, they did not fix the copper that we originally pulled out that caused the water to leak and collapse the trench to begin with. I don't know whose fault with it. I'm not going to get into that, but they packed it all in, they compacted, filled in the trench, it's done, They turn on the water, and guess what? Now there's a big mud pit there, so I'll be heading back there a little later today to dig out all the mud. I guess someone's replacing the line. I'm just assuming, again, I try not to ask too many questions when things go south like that, other than how can I help. But at the end of the day, I gotta say, mistakes happen on the jobs, and it gets frustrating. We've just had 3 weeks of this going on, and I think everyone's getting pretty tired of it. Right now, we're doing 12-hour shifts. I worked an extra 12-hour shift that turned into a 15-hour shift on a Sunday night, only to get done at about, I don't know, 10:30 at night, and drive home for a frozen fog hitting the ground, and it was just all ice. And I had about an hour-long drive, and I just kicked back, took it slow, stopped by the gas station, got a drink, got some chips, mellowed out for a little bit, and then calmly drove home, and was a zombie for about a day and a half after all that went on. Anyways, that's my portion of this podcast. It's been a while since my last one. I wouldn't say it was writer's block. I just got very busy. Obviously, from the story I've told you, things got very intense, and this big water main that just broke happened to us about a half hour ago now. So living the dream. Living the dream, trying not to cause problems, trying not to give opinions, just trying to support everyone and try and keep a good attitude. But when people get really dark, when you get a situation like this, you don't want to be smiling Jack on the show. You want to be a pretty serious guy that's, you know, not goofing around and stuff like that. It gets serious in a hurry. So there's 2 weeks. Probably more, probably three. 2 weeks in the life of me for the last 2 weeks on what I've been doing here. And wow, nothing's going smoothly. Nothing's going smoothly. I think they're going to want us to do an extra shift. And as much as I like the money, there comes a time when you just have to say, no, you know, I'm taking some time for myself. I've got some important things to do. What I say to people is I've got a million excuses of why I can't show up for that extra day you're asking me, requesting me to do, not ordering me to do. I got a million reasons why I can't show up. Let's just say no and get on with it. Sometimes I think when people make a lot of excuses on why they can't show up, they're kind of overcompensating, and it doesn't serve any purpose to anybody. So why go on about it? Just say, no, I can't show up. And if they ask you why, tell you why. Tell them why. That's about it for that. So that's my podcast for the moment. I might add some more on the rest of this because it looks like it's kind of short. But I thought I'd take the opportunity to tell you what's going on in the real world here right now that I'm sure a lot of you can relate to. The problems that happen, how people can possibly get hurt. And I'll just end this little segment off by voicing a little frustration for the guy in the trench that was cutting that pipe and had that geyser blow up in his face. What the hell? Really, like, why were we told that this water main was dead and it was alive? Whoever's responsible has to be reorientated or something. We have to get to the bottom of why this mistake was made. If it's an honest mistake by somebody and it makes sense, that's fine. Just like hitting a gas line a little while back. It was designated as a dead line, and it wasn't even on our locate sheets. But when we found it and exposed it, they designated it as dead. And sure enough, we were pulling some concrete back out of the thing. They said, go ahead. I had a swamper, and boom, gas line blew, and that was about a 3-inch gas line. That was really loud and really stunk up the neighborhood. So let's hope this one is an honest mistake. I'll get back to you if I find out anything about it, but usually at these points, I like to just sit back and offer a helping hand, be a solution, but stay out of the way and not try to poison this well. There's a good term. Poison this water main. Anyways, we got the water main shut off. Everybody seems okay, but nobody's happy. It's been a rough couple of weeks for everybody. And I'm taking note too. It's been long shifts, but these things that are happening, hopefully there won't be a pattern. But since it's happened twice now, strange things, got to be a little more on one's toes in this situation. Doesn't matter whose fault it is, I want to go home at night safe and sound. And I want everyone on my crew to go home at night safe and sound. Okay, well, I just came back to the machine here. I talked with the gentleman who was in the trench when all the pipe bursting went on and went over exactly what had happened. He was, upset, understandably, but very humble, mellow guy. He's not jumping up and down or anything like that, but real upset because we know someone could have died in this situation. He had safety goggles on, which would have been really important for any kind of debris, even little bits of dirt or something like that. Basically, he's got a saw on there, which is attached to the pipe with a chain. People familiar with a pipe cutter will know what I'm talking about. So it was physically attached. He wasn't holding on to it like you hold on to a chainsaw and cutting through a log and then had it blow and had it go back in his face. He said he realized very quickly that it was still live and stopped, but before he could even stop, it just expanded a bit. I guess the pipe shifted or something. And he was on his way out of the trench when it actually turned into a geyser. And he said it literally pushed him up the ladder as he came up. And he's very cold, but heck, he's getting back in the trench to finish up the job as we speak. So kudos to him. He did mention one thing that I thought was worth noting to everybody is that he goes, I'm not going to be telling my wife that this happened today. And we see a lot of things in this business that are unsafe, sketchy, or whatever. And it's nice to talk to with the guys and talk about hairy situations you've been in and weird things that had gone on and stuff like that. But I wonder if it's not important that we edit what we tell our loved ones sometimes, because when we tell the story, we tend to tell it with bravado. And I don't think our wives, parents, people that care about us really want to hear a story like that with bravado. I think they interpret it that we're taking it too lightly. And that's not the case, but I understand the train of thought, and that is a good note. I know that I was on the phone with my wife. I was running a track hoe down the side of a hill that was very icy and slippery, and it started to slide, and it wasn't a big deal. It was only going to slide about 6 or 7 feet, and then it was going to come to rest where the property sort of leveled out. It wasn't a situation. But on the phone with my wife, I said, uh-oh, I'm slipping, I'm going sideways, oh, here I go. Well, that was really unfair to her, because the pitch and tone of her voice at that moment was panicked. And she said, well, should you be jumping out of the machine? Are you okay? And I said, oh, hold on, I'm sorry that I'm telling this story. I'm communicating to you in a way while it's happening that makes it seem like it's more serious than it is. I'm quite all right, honey. Everything's fine. And that triggered me and what he said today to maybe bring that up. We're all cowboys in a way. I don't really like people that act like cowboys when they're on their machines. But we have a sense of bravado about it, and I think maybe it's a good idea, perhaps, to insulate your spouse from some of the stuff that goes on. Not that we're trying to hide that we're doing anything dangerous, but I don't think we need to cause them any anxiety wondering every day if we're okay and stuff. We're all professionals in this business, everyone from the top down, and we are very safe. We do look out for each other. I won't participate in anything that's remotely unsafe, and I'll tell them about it. And it's never become an issue where I've worked, but I've always kept that I'll never have a problem telling people that I'm not doing something because it's not safe, or telling a worker, don't do it, it's not safe. I've got a really hairy situation to tell on a separate podcast about people being told to go into a manhole when they shouldn't have been, and they got halfway in, and you could see trouble coming. I pulled the guy out, and I told him, pulled him aside, and I said, you know, I don't know your employer, I don't know your bosses or anything like that, but what I'm telling you is don't put up with that. Don't let people put you in a situation that's unsafe. Educate yourself. You may not be aware that what they're doing is putting you in danger, so educate yourself on all the possibilities that can happen. And like I say, give the edited version to the spouse is probably a good idea. And that way they won't worry about us all day long. And if you're in a job where you have to worry every single second of the day, that's very stressful on you. And sometimes reliving it by telling it to your spouse isn't going to help you out in any situation. So with that, I'm going to end this podcast. I've got some great ideas for some shows coming up if I can find the time or get the sleep or get the rest. It's good to be working, though. It's been a wild, mild winter here, so I don't know if that's climate change or what's going on there. Maybe it's all that gas that got released into the air on that broken gas line a week ago. Anyways, I hope you're all having fun, working hard. If you're not in the business yet, I hope this gives you a little story. This is intense work that we're doing where we're worried about gas lines, electrical lines, and sewer. It's a lot of fun. It's very dangerous. Don't let it scare you from getting into this industry. They're not going to ask you to do stuff you're not capable of. And people will know fairly quickly if an operator is capable of carrying out the job when it becomes dangerous. And if you don't like the danger factor in that, there's plenty of other heavy equipment opportunities that don't require the level of danger that we deal with. And at the same time, as I'm pointing out the danger, I also want to stress that we do everything we can to keep it to a minimum. So it's not like we're all hanging off a cliff all the time, every day on the job. Don't let it scare you away. If you're not capable, tell them. If they don't think you're capable, let them send you away. I mean, you know, you can get into landscaping and jobs like that that have very little danger to them, that are just as fun, just as rewarding, pay similar. So if you're a new operator or looking to become an operator, you listen to my first podcast about becoming a heavy equipment operator, you're listening to this where I'm talking about the dangers, I guess what I want to do is make sure that danger and safety is always top of mind on the job at all times for you and the people around you and for your people at home. And with that, we can all work very safely. I hope you've enjoyed this. I might be a little dry again because I'm just basically telling you how my week went. I thought it was worth noting and telling you what went on and what stuff can just happen. But don't let it scare you away from getting in this field. Please send me an email with any show ideas, any stories, anecdotes, or anything interesting to do with heavy equipment. Love the encouragement. We'll talk to you soon. This is Ryan signing off. Have a good, safe day.